We have a year ahead of us, and we have work to do. And we know that that work is what God has given us to do, which Jesus told the disciples what it would be. So if you don't know where we're headed, and if you don't know where you're going, God does. So all we have to do is remember, listen to the Holy Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit, and do exactly what the Holy Spirit leads. And so we're going to transform other people's lives and bring forth God's love wherever we go, right? That's what we're about. So if you don't know where we're going, you don't need to know, do you? Because God knows, and we're just going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit as God leads us. And how do we know this? Well, Jesus, before he left this earth, he was with the disciples in the upper room, and John chapter 14, we are going to pick up the story of where he's speaking to the disciples. And so he knows that he's about to leave the earth, and he knows that he's leaving in charge of his ministry those disciples. Common, ordinary people, right? That are out there. And just people like you and me as well. So in John 14, in 13, I'll take it back, he washed the disciples' feet first. And then he commands them, he says, do as I have done for you. Be willing to wash one another's feet. So he already gave a command of what service is supposed to look like, taking care of each other, right? And then he said, love each other. And that's how people are going to know that you're my disciples, by the way you love each other. And how we love each other is how we serve each other. You see how they're connected. You can't love without service. And Jesus showed that by washing the disciples' feet. And then he wanted to let them know that he was leaving. And so he told them in John 14, he said, don't be troubled. You trust God, trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place there for you. So that was part of the reason he was leaving. So for the disciples as well as for us, Jesus already prepared a place for you and for me. Isn't it good to know? And isn't it good to know that it's already decorated just the way you're going to like it and the way it's going to be great for you, because he knows you, right? And all the blessings that your heart can hold are already being prepared there in God's place. And then he says, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Where is he going? Heaven. Where are we going to end up? Heaven. So where are we headed? Heaven. How cool is that, right? And he says, you know where I am and how to get there. Okay, well, how did you get there? Follow Jesus, right? You just follow him there, right? He's already prepared a place. When it's ready, no, he also said, I'm going to come and get you and show you and bring you there. So, cool. When it gets to be time, he's going to come for you. So you don't need any directions. No GPS needed. No MapQuest required, right? So it's all good. He knows the way, right? And listen to what Thomas says. He says, no, we don't know, Lord. We don't know what you're talking about. We haven't any idea where you're going. So how do we know the way? Poor Thomas, right? Doesn't know where Jesus is from and doesn't know where Jesus is going. You ever feel like you don't know where you're from, or you know where you're from, right? Maybe. But you don't know where you're going some days. I mean, right? Wait till you get to my age. You don't know why you're in a room, but you're in there for a reason. You headed in there for a reason. What am I doing? What? You see me doing it at church, right? You'll hear me say it out loud even. And then some of you try to help. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? It'll come to me again. So here's Jesus' answer to that. So if you think you get lost from time to time, and even if you can't seem to find your way and you don't know where you're headed, like some of you may or may not have set some goals for this upcoming year, and some of us may or may not know what the year's going to bring forward for us. We have no idea what's going to transpire in our world most days, right? We think we have an idea, but we don't know. We have no idea, right? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So listen, if you stick with Jesus, right, you're never going to be lost. You're always going to know where you're headed, because if you're listening, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, which we're going to get to later as he talks about it, but he tells us through the Holy Spirit where to go in a nice, soft, gentle way, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Why? Because he's the way. right? You can't get somewhere without somebody leading you there, correct? Especially, right? Okay, so he's the way. And he says, if you only knew who I am, and then you would know who know my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So what are we learning about here? We're learning about Jesus came from the Father, which is God, right? So God and the Father, right, is who he's referring to. So we're getting a couple of parts of what we know as the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? So he said, if you knew where I came from, you know I came from heaven, you'd know that's where I'm headed, so you'd know God sent me. And then you'd know God because you know me. That's what he's saying to Thomas here. And then Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. So he's like, okay, you said you came from the Father, show him to us. Where is he? Well, what did Jesus just say? I am the Father. And then Jesus says, Philip, don't you even know yet who I am? Even after all the time I've been with you? See, for all of us that have been with Jesus a long time, sometimes do we not forget that God's in control and who God really is and who Christ is in our life? Don't we sometimes forget? We sometimes think that the world or people have power over us, right? Or our circumstances have power. Do we not know God and what God's power is? All the time? Every time? Oh, okay. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So guess what? Jesus says, here I am. I'm God. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And the Father is in me. The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So even for Jesus, we know that God the Father had to work through him for the works of the miracles. All the miracles Jesus performed were God within him, right? And that's what he's saying. We're one. We're a duo here right now. And then he says, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it. So we know this, right? Jesus and God are one, right? And then he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor. And here's where the third part of the Trinity comes in place. Who's getting the counselor? We are. You see, he's going to send the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to the people so that God can live within them as well, right? So when you receive Christ, you receive what? God the Father and the Holy Spirit, right? And then Christ lives in you, right? And that's who people we want to show to the world, right? And that's how we're able to love each other. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. He says, the world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives with you now. Who's he referring to? Who's living with them now? Jesus, right? Lives with them now, right? And later will be where? In you. In you. So where does the Holy Spirit reside? In me. Yeah. In us, right? So if the Holy Spirit resides in us, who else lives there? Jesus Christ and God the Father, right? So we have the Trinity within us, right? Does that not give us the capability of doing great works, right? Does that not give us the capability of loving the way God loves unconditionally? Does that not give us the capability of doing phenomenal, miraculous things in our lives and in the lives of this church, right? 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 All right. The key is you remembering that, first of all, look at Philip, right? He said, well, show us the Father. Jesus said, hey, you've been with him. How many times do we have to show you God here at church for you to believe? When do we have to show you that you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Do we have to show it to you? How do you know? Because you believe, and what else happens? You do great works, right? Right? You manifest things that are seemingly impossible. And you go places you never thought you could go before for God. All right, so let's turn over to the book of Acts, because I want to pick up the story after Jesus leaves the earth. He's crucified, he resurrects, he ascends into heaven, right? And then when we read in the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit, remember he promised the Holy Spirit's going to come, right? And go inside of people, right? Where does that happen? What we know is Pentecost, right? They're all gathered together in one big room, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes, right? And everybody starts getting fired up in the Spirit, right? And they start speaking in strange languages, the languages of all the people that were there, right? And before you know it, Peter starts to preach, and he's talking about the goodness of God and the good news of God and how wonderful it is to have God in their life. And people get saved, and they repent, and they change, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they do miraculous things. And that's what transpires in the early church. When the Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus promised, it goes within everybody that's in that realm. So let me put it this way. When we're in church together, when we ask for the Holy Spirit to descend, it's kind of a weird way to say it. Because where's the Holy Spirit? In us. So what do we have to do to show the Holy Spirit to others? By our miraculous praise and worship, by the way we lay on hands and heal people, by the way we encourage one another, by the way we do impossible, magnificent things, the way we change, right? And by helping each other. That's how it happens in the church body. So let's pick up the story where Philip now, he's obviously been in that same room, had the Holy Spirit come upon him. And in the book of Acts, we're seeing some things that are transpiring in chapter 8. One of the things that happens is people are testifying in Samaria. Peter and John go to Jerusalem, and you know they're going all throughout all the villages, and they're preaching and teaching about the power of God. What is the power of God? God's love, mercy, and grace, right? And that God loves everyone. And that we can, as people, cause people's lives to change. How do we cause that to happen? The power of the Holy Spirit in us. When we're with someone else, listen, you're very powerful by what you say and what you do. And how you can affect another person's life in a spiritual way, right? No matter what the world is trying to say out there, we can counteract that, can't we? By telling the truth of God's goodness and mercy and grace and love for everyone, right? Of course. Verse 26, Acts 8, verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he did. So what do we see transpiring in Philip's life right here, right now? We see an angel of the Lord speaking to him, right? Now, for some of you, your acuity, your auditory acuity for God, I want to help turn it up for you. I want you to learn to be listening for God speaking to you all the time. Meaning the things that you're thinking about some days, and you're thinking about your day and what you got to do and all those kind of things, you're doing that. I want you to have what we call a second ear. An ear that's really listening inside of yourself to what God would have you do. And keep paying attention to that voice, and it will get louder. The more you pay attention, and it may not be a very loud voice. Now, the other side of it, it might just be a feeling that some of you get. Some of you have, you know, something that's in a knot in your stomach some days, or you might feel something, some compulsion inside of you that just something's telling me. You ever say that to anybody? Well, guess what the something is? The Holy Spirit that's inside of you. When someone comes into your mind and into your visual, you're thinking about, I don't know, if you're like me, it's lunchtime, I'm thinking about food, and suddenly someone's face comes into mine, and I go, what have they got to do with McDonald's? Nothing. But see, that's the Holy Spirit causing my mind to go and think about someone else. And it could very well mean that that moment they might need a prayer. But maybe sometimes I, you know, and what's interesting to me that often happens to me, I'll be thinking and then my phone is ringing. And lo and behold, if it isn't that person calling, right? If you had that happen to you, answer the phone, please. And then while you're listening to what they're saying, listen with the second ear of what the Holy Spirit would have you say to them, right? Okay. Anyway, so he did, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. So this is one of those coincidences. This guy just happened that he was worshiping, and so he bumps into Philip by accident. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Next verse, 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, so he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I when there was no one to instruct me?" And he begged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Was Isaiah talking about himself or someone else?" So Philip began with the same scripture and then used many others to tell him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized?" What's transpiring here? It's like evangelism 101, right? It's a one-on-one experience. You notice this, right? Who led Philip there? The Holy Spirit. Who led the eunuch there? The Holy Spirit, wanting to change a person's life. Listen. You are not in this room by accident. You're not in everyone's life by accident. You are placed there by the Holy Spirit. You have a work to do in other people's lives. You may not recognize that because you just think you're friends, but in reality, you're there as a spiritual guide and help to them. And it may very well be that there might be a question somebody has. It may not be that they're reading scriptures and say, "What does the scripture mean?" You have to kind of dissect it and explain it. It might just be as simple as, you know, with all this stuff about churches and God and religion, you know what? I don't believe in God. I'm done with God. You might have that kind of conversation every once in a while with someone. What's the answer? I hear the Holy Spirit answering. You notice how that's happening? I didn't get the same answer from every person, did I? Or did you think of it the same answer? No. The Holy Spirit gave you what to say. And just like that, he'll also give you what to say when you are meeting with someone else, right? That's your walk on life. All right. Let's go on. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. What an awesome day! And Pastor Lisa particularly likes that. And then the following week, they gave him a certificate. No. Do you notice that there was not a church involved here? Do you notice that this eunuch had been to Jerusalem at the temple and wasn't baptized there? Do you notice that? Do you notice that much of our work does not happen within these four walls? Do you notice that? Do you know that when you're out and about wherever you may be, and it could be Walmart, it could be 7-Eleven, it could be Starbucks, it could be anywhere, it could be in your home, it could be out on a kayak, it could be all God only knows where. You could be anywhere running along somewhere, and all of a sudden Philip comes running along and said, "Go, run, 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 you're doing a great job." God shows up all the time. All the time. If you ever knew how many angels of God have come and spoken to you one way, shape, or form throughout your life, and sometimes we're the angels and sometimes someone else is an angel, right? And right at that moment, the Holy Spirit sends someone to help us. That's the power of what the Holy Spirit's all about. And so the next thing that happens is when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine that one? Why do you suppose that happened? I think it happened so they could prove to that eunuch, this was God at work here big time. I can't tell you the times when I've been at places, hospitals, hospice, funeral situations, all kinds of places, down moments in my own personal life, when all of a sudden someone's there and they say an encouraging word or phrase or just everything's going to be okay, just that, and then you turn to go say thank you and they're gone. Yes, you can testify to that, can't you? I know you could. You may not always recognize it, but that's the Holy Spirit at work. And that's what, you know, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Remember we talked to you about listening to the Holy Spirit? Be on alert all the time because God wants to use you and the power of the Holy Spirit within you for you to impact and help transform other people's lives. That eunuch went away rejoicing. Part of the reason was eunuchs were not allowed in the temple of God at one time. But look what God does. Uses Philip. Remember Philip who said, I don't show us the Father? This is a different Philip, isn't it? You see what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us? We become different, don't we? We become bolder. We become more willing to help other people, regardless of whether it makes us embarrassed or not. Because some of us do have some fears, do we not? Of course we do. What are they going to think if I say to them, I don't know what you're going through, but God's there for you? Some people might, that don't believe in God, might look at you and go, huh? Does it matter? No. What matters is that you were obedient to the Holy Spirit. And look what happens next. It says, the Spirit of the Lord caught him up. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azotus. How'd I get here? Sometimes when we're here at church, and you may or may not ever notice this, some of us that are like getting into the Spirit when God's speaking through us or to us, or if we're praying for you, and we start saying all kinds of things to you, and you don't have any idea what we're really saying, but you're feeling something, right? And all of a sudden, you start to feel the power of the Holy Spirit upon you, because God's moving in that way, the God's stirring up inside of you, the Holy Spirit, but also the Holy Spirit is also coming upon you like would be a baptism. We call it a baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And sometimes you may very well, some of you, feel as though you're being overpowered. Well, you are. That's my prayer for you is let it happen. Surrender to that Spirit. Just think about this eunuch. He's like, wow, I met God, and I want to be baptized because of who Jesus Christ is, and I want my life to change. Or some of you might not be that degree. It might be, you know what, I've been fighting some things in my life, and I'm going through the same thing over and over again, and I keep coming to church, and one of these days I'm going to ask for prayer, but I don't really write it down, and I don't really want to bother the pastors, and I really don't. But when you come up for the communion time, the reason we have it up here, yes, is to give you communion, bring back to forth of the power of who Christ is, to remind you of who he is. Right? Just like he did with those disciples. So we can remember who God is in our lives, but it's also to have the Holy Spirit move through us to move with you. And so every once in a while when the Spirit moves, some of you might sit there and cry. It's okay. It's okay when God works on you in your spiritual walk and in your spiritual life. It's okay to release that and let those feelings go. It's safe here because you're not here by accident. And sometimes what happens to some of us in the spiritual realm is when God speaks to us, like he did to Philip, says, go walk up beside that eunuch. And suddenly we might have something that God's telling us, this person's struggling with something, and, you know, we kind of get near you, and some of you go, whoa, she's coming near me. I can't hide anymore when I'm going through. Oh, no. Oh, let her look that way instead. See, when you really pray to change and you really pray that God touches you and helps you grow and helps you with whatever it is you're struggling with and fighting with, do you know you can stop fighting? Do you realize that? And like the eunuch, how about you just say, hey, there's some power over here at the altar. Why can't I be changed? Why can't I have a better life? Why can't I be like Christ? Why can't you? Is anything stopping you? Who's more powerful than even you? God is, the Holy Spirit. So powerful that it picked up Philip and plunked him in a whole other city. And I know some of you would like me to disappear like that right now, and I can't do it. What's the purpose of Philip going beside the eunuch? To help the eunuch, right? When that eunuch was baptized, he went away what? Rejoicing. I don't know about you, but are you not tired of the same stuff you've been going through for the last so long? Are you tired of it? Well, I'm going to tell you this. You know what? You're going to have to get off your carriage this morning, and you're going to have to walk down here to the altar this morning. Because Philip's here. Because the Holy Spirit wants you healed, wants you whole. Why do you think Jesus died on the cross? Not just to save us from our sins, but to provide an abundant life. He said, I came to give you life and give it to you in the fullest measure. He wants you to have an abundant life this coming year. So where are you headed? To the altar. Very, very good. Very good. Very good. And if you feel something happening to you and we're praying for you, just go with it. Receive it. Open up to it. I promise it will change you forever, and you will go away rejoicing. And those problems like Philip that disappeared into thin air, so will they. So will they. I promise you that. The scriptures tell us that. So in closing, know this. The power of the Holy Spirit is something that moves throughout this church all the time, and it moves in us and through us all. Sometimes you may be the one to pray for another person. It isn't just the pastors. Sometimes you may be the one to sit with someone and hold them and hold their hand and pray with them and let the Holy Spirit give you the word. And when you have a need, God knows it. And because God knows it, God's going to send you an angel of the Lord. There's lots and lots of Philips to go around in this church. And we're here to serve. We're here to bless. We're here to love you. And we're here to help you heal and live an abundant, prosperous, awesome life. So where are you headed? To the altar. Amen.